Hello, everybody. Welcome back to my podcast. This is your host, Charles. You are listening to season 4 of Bringing It All Back Home. Yeah, really excited to get started again. Had a relaxing and I think refreshing break from jumping on the mic every week. Thought I would get back in mid-September. It's really the end of September, so I guess I was a little bit off there. But yeah, I'm really excited to start another season and really just jump in to something that just fits into where my head is at, starting season 4. And if you have not listened to the podcast before, thanks for checking it out. There's almost 4 years worth of episodes behind me. But yeah, it's typically analog stuff. Once in a while, a live chat with friends or old college buddies who continue to do something creative, whether it's in photography or art or especially music. There will be some live chats there. For one season, got off on a little bit of a detour about something completely different, you know, that at that time was new, coming to New Jersey, which was the whole cannabis thing. Now that is really kind of boring, you know, like there's really nothing new there. And Jersey, as usual, is New Jersey is just dragging its feet. So be honest, not a lot has actually happened there. There's all this talk that one day a town close to where I live will become some new version of Amsterdam, but nothing has happened yet of any note. But anyway, that's not really the channel. This is all about just loving photography, loving the old cameras, enjoying film, and of course forays into digital too. That is something I did recently, which I'll save for another episode. But yeah, today I kind of just want to focus in on something really, really basic that I've been embracing again, or it's embraced me, which is the golden hour and the golden hour films. I'll explain what I mean by that. So, yeah, the golden hour is something of a cliche within a cliche. You know, you I'm sure have had someone somewhere in your background blather on about golden hour, and at some point, I suppose in everybody's you know, interest in photography, whether it's your smartphone or a classic analog camera, you have tried that stuff out. You know, you may even be really into the nerdy side where you're literally going to a website to figure out the exact time of the golden hour. And I believe, you know, for some folks, it is technically this 6-degree thing. You know, so I even have a website called timeanddate.com where you can kind of just move your cursor over. And when the sun is in the last 6 degrees of altitude, say at, you know, before sunset, that is when your golden hour is going to start. So, for instance, right now I'm seeing today, September 27th here in the East Coast, southern New Jersey, the sun is going to set at 6:46, and the 6-degree altitude is at 6:12. So I guess the peak of the golden hour tonight is roughly 30 minutes before the sun goes down. But yeah, I'm not that into the specifics. Generally, I'm looking for the hour, as in golden hour, not golden half hour. So yeah, I would pretty much, if I was going to be shooting in the late afternoon, you know, just if the sun's going down at 7, I would start looking around somewhere around 6 to see what's going on. You know, where's that light going? Do I have any interesting subjects, etc.? But the thing for me has been the golden morning. The golden morning, sometimes hour, but yeah, and sometimes only half hour. That's where the morning light here, and I don't know if this is a thing because I live at the shore. I don't know, but sometimes it's just so beautiful, so gorgeous, and so fleeting. And yeah, that's my time to go out. If I had the ability to shoot color film all the time, of course I would be shooting it in color. Hence the colors of the golden hour. But to be honest, which sounds kind of nonsensical, I'll often just go out and shoot black and white in the golden hour. Not exactly golden. You know, those mid-tone grays aren't exactly golden. But no, it's not just about the color of the light. It's about the, in some ways, the delicacy of the light, the slowly building soft shadows, and the angle. Anyhow, this is not going to be going off on a weird tangent about black and white versions of golden hour. No, this is going to be color, of course. And where I think I'm most inspired by lately is somebody I found on Instagram. And as always, I don't know where I found this gentleman, and I don't even really know 100% his main country. So I'm going to leave a link to it. It's Instagram, of course. The name of his site is Bonzen Schneider. So that's Bonzen. So I believe that's Bonzen and Schneider. Bonzen Schneider. And I don't know what part of that name is his real name. Is his real name Bonzen Schneider? I don't know. But anyhow, okay, I think I vaguely remember now how I got in touch with this guy. I think I may have just been searching on Instagram. Something to do with my Pentax back, which is always, Pentax has always been giving me headaches to some degree. Not their 35 millimeter in any way, but their the long drawn out story, which has been on many, many previous episodes of my love of the Pentax 6.7, especially the wooden grip, and of course, seriously though, the 105 classic lens with the 3D pop and the amazing 2.4 shallow depth of field, gorgeous bokeh, all that good stuff. Yeah, I've had two Pentax 6.7s fail on me, and that wouldn't be such a big deal if I had not spent well over $300 on one of them to be repaired. And I think, and that's truly where it all gets very sticky, you know, when you've paid for a repair and the camera still craps out of you. I've mentioned this story many times, but I guess I don't get tired of relaying it. But there's still this thing. So I've gone into 645, a Pentax. I have a beautiful, beautifully working basic 645 Pentax. So not the, you know, not the autofocus one, just a general manual focus 645. Did not spend much for it. At one time I had the wide angle lens, which I was very happy with. And then I was always using the adapter for the 6.7 lens to use on the 645. And that always had, you know, I don't know, I think mostly mixed reactions, not mixed results. The results were always pretty good, and including the last photo shoot I did out of the train tracks with Jennifer, the last time I think I'll be working with her for a while because she's now overseas. They came out okay, you know, like I think, you know, months later looking at them, maybe they could have been a little bit more in focus, but we were dealing with low light and we were dealing with Kodak 160, which is really what this episode's going to keep circling around. So anyway, why am I going off on this really roundabout tangent about Pentax 645 and Pentax 6.7? Because I think that's how I found this guy, this Instagram person named Bonzen Schneider. I may have just been doing the keyword search through Instagram on Pentax 645, and I found some of his stuff, and I immediately started following him. I was really impressed with his photos, and it turns out there's just these unusual coincidences between the gear he's using and the gear I'm using, in a sense that, I mean, maybe it's not that much of a coincidence, but the majority of his stuff that you see on his website is either shot with a 75 millimeter autofocus version of the Pentax 645. So he's got the 645 with autofocus and he's using the 75. And I know this because I've actually reached out to him. I'm like, what are you shooting with, man? What exact version of the 645 are you using? And yeah, he wrote back almost immediately, really great great correspondence there. Yeah, I reached out to him here. I have it right now. I reached out to him for the first time in October of 2022, so almost a year ago, saying, "Hey, man, which lens are you using?" I'm using the 75. He's like, "Yeah, I'm using the same lens with autofocus." So I started following him, and again, so he's using the 645N with autofocus, and I'm using the 645, regular 645, without the autofocus. And as I follow him, which again, this is really where this episode's all about, I'm noticing that he's just doing such amazing work consistently, not exclusively, but consistently, with what you would imagine when you shoot color film in the golden hour. So yeah, that I think is really where this episode I'd love to get back into is take a look at Bunsen-Schneider's Instagram page. And who knows, maybe I can reach out to him and get him on the podcast and actually hear what this is all about. Again, I'm always speculating as to where he may be living. I do know it seems like some of the more recent shots reference Lisbon, you know? I don't know. But yeah, the most recent shot right now, you know, hey, Pentax 645, Portra 400. Now, this most recent shot showing these really interesting train tracks going over some cobblestones, making a quick turn, what looks like a very, very unusual, or I guess these might be trolley tracks. Very interesting. Now, this one is still a little bit more brightly lit than some of his other ones, but as you go through it, you're going to start seeing more and more like, yeah, there's this one of a gentleman, fantastic composition, just leaning on this boat and the sun is reflecting off his back. You've got some seagulls in the distance. You do have what appears to be that glowy sun just before sunset look in the sky. And yeah, Kodak Gold, you know, and another one, Portra 160. Another incredible one, beautiful, beautiful architecture stuff, really nice shadows, Kodak Portra 160. Another awesome one of a lake, back to the Pentax 645, Kodak Gold 200. Another gorgeously compositional one with the 645 Gold 200. Another one, Portra 160, Gold 200. So it just goes back and forth mostly between those two. Really not so much the Portra 400, which is, you know, a little bit interesting, especially these days since that is the king of the most expensive films out there. So to try to bring this all together, where I'm going is like, hey, you know, if you do start to go off on a golden hour kick, whether it's the morning golden hour or at night, let Kodak Portra 160 and Kodak Gold 200. Let those two films steer the way, you know. Try to see if you can bring out the gorgeousness of those. And I believe, you know, out of anyone's work, and you can see this consistently, this guy from Instagram, Mr. Again, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, but Bunsen-Schneider, is just killing it. He's just killing it. There's just such a sweet glowiness to the shots, a kind of unfussiness to the shots too. Like you can just kind of tell, like these were not, this is not done in Photoshop. You could just see it, feel it. Like these were not slaved over with a filter or three. This was just, I'm sure, straight out of camera using just great film at the right time with the right light, you know, the right light. So yeah, if you want to scroll through his stuff. Now where I find this interesting in so many ways is, number one, at these perilous times for buying color film, you know, this is where we are turning a corner, I think philosophically with color film, where some people are dropping out of color film, you know, which in turn for them means dropping out of analog because they are addicted to Kodak 400 and those prices are just amazingly high right now. Places overseas, I think, are charging $20 a roll I'm guessing B&H and Amazon, whatever. What are they charging for Kodak Portra right now? Let's take a look at B&H. Kodak Portra, 400. Okay, so they've got it in a 5-pack. $75 out of 5. Yeah, it's still at 15. Yeah, that's the new cheap price for Portra, $15 a roll. What if you don't want to pay $15 a roll? What if you'd like to kind of, you know, shoot over to a different film? If you go after 160, I believe it's closer to 12 or 13. Yeah, so okay, maybe not that much difference. It's $5 cheaper. So that really doesn't translate to too much. So 160 is $14 a roll. And good old 200 gold, you could get 2 3-packs for $60. So that's, yeah, $10 a roll. So really, you know, depending on your photography, if you do a lot of landscape stuff and you love the golden hour, yeah, Kodak 200 is the way to go. You know, you're literally getting one of the best Kodak films around right now, in my opinion. Obviously, too, a lot of the shots you see, not all of them, but a lot of the shots you're going to see on Instagram are referring to the 120 version of Kodak 200, which I remember having a fantastic time with last time I used it. Currently out of it. I don't have any in stock, but that is a film I definitely will keep coming back to. If you want to get back or stay in line with the color film dream, and you're looking to explore some great color films that really, really can highlight the golden hour, then yeah, I think interchangeably, you could be just in the right place with Kodak Gold 200, whether it's the 120 format or your 35 millimeter. And of course, Kodak 160. So yeah, that's what I've been using a lot lately, mostly the 160, because I had quite a chunk of it still around. I love that film. It's just an absolutely great film. I think the only negative of 160 is just make sure you don't underexpose it in any way, especially if you're taking actual portraits, because it will, I mean, unless that's the look you're going for, it'll very quickly go from absolutely lovely to very, very vintage and grainy, you know. Where it gets even more interesting, and the reason I think I wanted to pick this subject as the first episode coming back, is if you look through this Instagram account, you're going to see some gorgeous photos that were not taken with a Leica. They were not taken with a, you know, a $2,000 Summicron or Summilux. They were not taken with a Carl Zeiss 80 millimeter on you know, an incredibly expensive 6x6 camera. So this is the part I think that I find so fascinating about this guy's account, is if you look at really what the glass is using. So he lists basically his camera it's funny, he doesn't list the lens, he just lists the camera. So, but I've reached out to him. So there's really three cameras you're going to see on his account. There's the Minolta X300, which is the 570 if you're in North America. A camera I used to own. Love that camera. Great, terrific camera for very lightweight, awesome metering, easy to load, and wonderful if you like aperture priority, especially. Cheap Minolta, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to find this Minolta camera, they're plentiful, and they don't cost anything. And I reached out to him, like, well, what lens are you using on the Minolta? And he's like, yeah, just a regular 35 2.8. There's, I think, at least two, if not maybe three versions of a 35 2.8 from Minolta. Maybe one's the earlier ones that are not the MD, but I don't think it really matters. So yeah, like, his 35 millimeter shots using Portra 160, using Kodak Gold, are taken with an incredibly cheap camera. A really, really cheap camera. You know, like, we're talking like as cheap as you can get, you know? A super, super, super cheap camera. a freaking Minolta 570 with a 35 millimeter 2.8. Like, you could easily pull this stuff together for under $60, maybe 75 tops. And then the 120 stuff, the 120 stuff. I mean, when you really come down to it, the 6.45 automatic, you know, the 6.45N and the 75 autofocus. Yeah, like that's also very, very much off the YouTube radar, you know, because there's nothing really, really, like, both of these cameras, neither one of these cameras, you know, like, have any kind of significant looks, you know, like they just don't have any great looks, you know, like, for, so let me just take a look here. Minolta, 570, 35 millimeter. See if anybody's actually selling this as a kit. Well, looky there. So there is somebody selling this. Oh, no, that's with the 51.7, and that's a little bit overpriced. So I'm seeing a bunch of people selling this with the 50. Yeah, 75, 49 with the lens. So that was just sold literally like 6 days ago. That was the price I was expecting. You know, a 570 with a really nice lens, 50 bucks. Here's one for 79, looks a little bit cleaner. Another one for 80. And then the 35 millimeter 2.8, 43. Yeah, there we go. There's one. There's a 370 with a 43. Yeah, so look, so, you know, this is here's a combo. He bought very, very similar to the camera he had. The X, he had the X300. This is the X370. Yeah, $43. So there it is. Boom. You know, $43. He's using a $43 setup. So, but yeah, he knows his light, he knows his composition, and he knows his film. And I think that's one of the things that really comes out on this Instagram account, is you could just tell, like, this guy knows his film. Like, he's getting all the sweet spots out of the Portra 160, out of the 200. They're often late afternoon. They're showcasing the golden tones. He's got a nice balance in this current one I'm looking at. I guess this was in Amalfi, and it's like a pool and some this sort of resort scene at night, as approaching sunset. Yeah, very, very, very gorgeous stuff. And just to pick up on where that medium format camera is, it's not in the bargain basement, but everything I'm seeing right now, the majority of them are sold anywhere between seven something and nine. That seems to be the average price, you know. So essentially, you got a medium format camera, autofocus, works. I'm sure the metering's terrific. I know the metering on my manual focus one is flawless. So you've got a working metering 6.45 camera with autofocus. You spent under $900 for that. And then you have a working metering manual focus 35 with a 35 millimeter lens, and that probably costs anywhere from 50 to 80. So basically, these two camera systems are coming in under the entire cost you're most likely going to spend is a grand. And I love the way that neither one of these lenses are known for being exceptional in any way. You know, like, you don't hear about these two lenses on iDreamer cameras. You don't hear about them on the classic lenses podcast. You know, you don't, you would never, ever hear of anybody raving about the base model kit lens for the 6.45. You know, the good old Pentax 75. It's not exactly that fast. What is it? It's like a 2.8, I guess, right? You know, and the last thing you're going to hear about is people raving about a Minolta lens that has nothing to do with Leica, nothing to do with rangefinders, just a simple SLR lens, your basic 35. Not that fast either, you know, only 2.8. And yeah, it's just, if I could sum up where I'm going with this, is, like, if you know your film, in this case, the 200 Kodak Gold. If you know your other slower speed film, like the 160, and you can just follow the light and get into a spot where the light's going to be spilling in a generous way, this kind of magic, you know, this more diffuse, more delicate light. You don't need a $2,000 lens. You don't need a $5,000 camera system. You can get fantastic results from just the workhorse lenses, the ones that aren't going to let you down, the ones that if for any reason they broke, you could get another one easily. You know, they're not collectibles. And yeah, I really, when I look at this guy's work, I, like at no point I'm like, well, that's a great shot, but if only he had used a proper Zeiss lens, you know, from a Hasselblad on that, it would really pop. You're like, no, not at all. Like the whole vibe. And that's another word that is a bit cliche and trendy, you know, but it does actually apply really, really well to his work. These are very vibey kind of pics. You know, they have a really nice just before sunset glow to them. So yeah, that's where I'm going to wrap up the first episode coming back on season 4. You know, if even though color film is a little bit of a heartbreak these days, there's not all is lost. You know, you can embrace 160 and save at least $5. Or you could really, really cut it back and go into the Kodak 200 realm. Obviously, if you're just shooting portraits, you know, is Kodak 200 going to be your go-to film for, say, weddings, you know, and all kinds of different light? You know, maybe not. You know I was thrilled with Kodak 200 using it in the light I associate it with. So really, I mean, I just, without a doubt, I associate that film, Kodak 200 and Kodak Portra 160, with the 6-degree light, you know, the golden hour light, whether it's morning light or sunset light, that more diffuse light and that quality, that vibe is going to just shine through. And that's pretty much where I stand on that. But also, too, just to recap, what I'm doing right now as far as what I'm shooting with is I have been reaching a point where I'm not buying any new film until I finish up what is in the fridge, or at least most of it. So I do, I'm pretty much just kind of shooting in a slightly different way the last couple of weeks. Just loading a bunch of rolls of, you named it, Kodak 160, Portra 160 in my cameras. And I'm also simultaneously trying to work with cameras that I've been neglecting this year. So I don't know about you guys, but I do find it can be interesting. Once your collection of film cameras exceeds 10. And mine's not that far over. I think I have about 12 to 15 film cameras. And a lot of them, again, were under $60. It's not like I'm spending a fortune on these guys. But yeah, I am kind of keeping a rough estimate of the lesser known ones, the lesser used ones, to see like, wow, it's been over 6 months since I picked up this camera. Let me go ahead and do a round. So that's kind of where I am right now. Not exactly inspiration-based, more like utility-based. I'm using up the film so I can kind of get a fresh idea of where I want to go next when I buy a big load of film. Black and white-wise, I'm still quite... I've got a good amount. Like, I've got like 10 rolls of T-Max 100, maybe 6 or 7 rolls of T-Max 400, and that's all for my black and white. But yeah, when it comes to the color, I'm still just trying to use up a lot of the Kodak, which, to be honest, is actually quite hard in a way because, you know, we had Hurricane Lee here for a week, and actually we had sunny skies through the whole thing, but then there was this tropical storm that followed it, and today is literally the first day I can even see anything resembling the sun in over 6 days, you know? So yeah, that's the one drawback, you know? Like, with black and white film, I can shoot that any day of the week. It doesn't matter if the weather's really, really good or really horrible, I will still shoot black and white. Whereas with color Portra 160, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go out there on a completely gray overcast sky. Like, that's just wasting it. That's my goal. Hopefully by the next time I get on the mic, I'll have finished up another roll or two. Currently, I am shooting with the Contax ST with the Zeiss Planar 1.7. really nice lens, really nice camera, but for some reason it's not been a go-to anymore. Don't know why. But anyway, yeah, got lots of cool stuff to talk with you guys about in the next episode. Can't wait to get into surfing photography. That's been a thing again, speaking of Hurricane Lee. And then just pick up where we are all going. So again, thanks again for coming back on the podcast. More to come.